Christ is a treasury of wisdom, and we are hidden with Him. See, there's nothing that you don't have access to because you are in Christ. And if you want to know something about something and you don't know, you can ask the Lord because He has all the wisdom. You know, sometimes people don't think that Jesus is smart or that God is smart. God's very smart. Yeah, you look at me kind of weird, but it's okay. Very smart. I mean, He made you, right? That's a smart move.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, January 14th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Scripture for the Year. And our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
So today we're going to discover whether you've done your homework or not. And the homework was, and I'm going to just do it this way. We're going to go here first. We're going to go here second, and then over the third. It's not going to take a long time because I have my message ready to go. But we said that you need to find a life verse, a text from Scripture, that would be your life verse for 2024. And next week, with the Lord's help, we're going to have something like this, as you see in the screen. And we're going to give you a magnet as well that you can put your life verse written or printed or whatever, and then you can put it on the refrigerator wall or anything that would be attached. That way, you keep thinking through the year that that is the key verse that makes you more than victorious in Christ Jesus. So I'm wondering, on this side of the church, did you guys come up with it? You don't have to memorize it. You could just say it out there. I don't want you to explain to me why. Just simply state the verse and read the verse, and we'll get going. So let's start on this side. Okay, anybody here? All right.
Philippians 4:4-4:13.
Which is?
Well, not verbatim, but do not be anxious in anything, but with all things, by
I like that one. If you didn't have one, you got one now, you know. So that's wonderful. That's a wonderful verse. Anybody else? Loretta?
Psalm 121:1-2. I look to the hills, but where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Somebody else there? Way back over there. And that's the anointed version, because you said it all in Spanish and God speaks in Spanish. That's wonderful. Somebody else here? All right. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. One more, I think. Sister Mesa? Wow, that's beautiful. In Spanish and English? All right, let's see what comes.
1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen.
Very powerful indictment and great corrector for our lives. Beautiful, wonderful. And you said it in English. Yes, God understands that. You're learning. All right, so far for this group. Over here, what's your text for the year? Anybody? Okay, brother?
I got Psalms 56:3, and I'm afraid I put.
That's wonderful, yeah. And there are many some reasons to be afraid, aren't they? But the Lord takes care of things. He really does. Anybody else here? Okay.
Your
recommendations
are
It's a wonderful passage. They're all wonderful passages. It's important that they mean something to you and that you carry that through the whole year. So it's so important, so important. Anybody else here? So far, this is the most spiritual side of the church. Okay, you guys are somewhat somewhere. I don't know where you are, but anyway. Now we're going to go to the other side of the church. All right, sister? That's gorgeous. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yes, sister. That's it. You guys are beating this group here, so I'll be preaching to this group right here. Yes, sister.
Yes, I'm kind of hard of hearing, so I don't know if anyone has this problem being a senior citizen, but if you stand up and speak as loud as you can, because I couldn't hear most of anyone, but anyway, this is my life one, Psalms 63:3, God's loving kindness.
Yes,
what it means to me is that God's loving kindness is my spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And that life is better than any temporal life.
Yes.
The life of the world that has to offer doesn't even compare to the spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And I want to say that I listened to Pastor Jeff when we were sick, and he had mentioned his lifer, one of them, and he said that even if God does not deliver him, I will not bow down to any other gods. And that spiritual life is so precious to Pastor Jeff. Because the temporal life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
So your spiritual life means so much. And that verse in Daniel, I think we all should read. Because as disciples of Christ, we all should remember that. Because that's what you follow if you're a disciple.
Of Christ. I don't have to preach. It's wonderful, wonderful, Charlotte. Wonderful application. Anybody else on this side? You guys are looking at each other, so who's going to do it? Okay.
Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace, and he will bring delight to your soul.
Beautiful, beautiful. These are so life-transforming texts that we follow through life. It's just wonderful. Anyone else on this side? Because I think this side is winning. You know. Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, I think both of you are kind of on the same level. I still think this is the weak part of the churches. It's not weakness. It's perfectly fine. You know, we're all following the same pattern of depending on the Lord and trusting the Lord. But just give it some more thought. We're still in the month of January, so find a text that will motivate you every time you get up and you see it in the refrigerator wall, or you see it in the mirror or whatever, and say, that's that my text for 2024. I'm going to be true to it. And if you have troubles trying to find one, then ask somebody, help me to find a text that can motivate you and keep you going. Because I tell you what, you're going to need it this year. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, but you're going to need it. So find a scripture that you can anchor your heart and your soul, and you'll draw great benefits. Last chance for anybody? Anybody? Oh. See, this is the spiritual side. She's just... Beautiful, beautiful. You're going to resucitar el grupo. Yeah. Okay.
It's Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added on. And the reason is because sometimes we focus on everything going around our lives to make it work, but
Mm-hmm.
So we have to seek him first, so everything else falls into place.
That's right. Because when you seek the kingdom, you're seeking God's rule. What is God doing? I want to be involved with what God is doing. And you find out what God is doing, like loving your neighbor as yourself, like not cheating, not doing this, not doing that. You find the things that God doesn't do, and you go and you do the things that God does, and that's the kingdom of God, and then God blesses you. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very good. Oh, one more. Yes.
Let not your heart
be troubled.
Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many
mansions. Ah, beautiful.
I'm going to prepare
a place for you.
If I go and prepare a place for you,
yes.
I will come again,
yes.
And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there is me.
Ah, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. My goodness. Sean.
Psalms 46.
The whole psalm.
Well, the whole psalm, yeah. But I want you to do the first two. God is our refuge and strength, and ever presence help in trouble. Therefore, we will not be feared. Fall into the heart.
Yeah, it's a very sturdy, strong text that can really anchor our lives in the Lord. Wonderful. One more time. Anybody else? So this side wins. Oh, overwhelmingly. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord, huh? The Lord is so good to us. And it's still not too late. Next Sunday, if you remind me, we'll have another session again. And if you've not come up with a text, then maybe next Sunday you can share it, and the rest of us will be blessed by it, because it shows our confidence and trust is not anywhere except in the word of the Lord that comes to our hearts and lives. So, and so I've also modified my text for this year. My life text is in Acts chapter 20, verse 23, but every year I pick one text and I try to follow it and go to it often, and I'm going to announce it, and we're going to look at what it really means. And it's in Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3, and we'll look it up in the screen as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Actually, all of Colossians is a good book. Well, all the books are good, but Colossians 3 is it's been very important to me in the last year, and this year I think it will be even more. And the text for this morning and the text that I will have through this year is, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And the context in verses 2 through 4. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word. If you keep on reading, or you read through this epistle, you find the richness that is in God's word and in Christ himself. And one of the big issues that sometimes we don't emphasize that much is the power of baptism, water baptism. Because Paul is making a point here about our being dead to the world and alive unto God. And this is exactly the symbolism and the reality of Colossians 3. In baptisms, you die and you rise again. As the water goes over you, then it's like you've been buried in death. And as you emerge from the water, then it's like being resurrected into new life. And the Christian is dead to the world and alive unto God. And baptism is one of those symbols. So you and I understand that I must rise from baptism as different people, different men, different women. When you come out of the baptismal waters, you're no longer the same one that went into it. And where is the difference? And the difference is very simple. Your thoughts must be set on things which are above. A whole brand set of values. No longer are you concerned with the trivialities of this passing life. The things on earth grow dim in the light of the Lord. And all of a sudden you become extremely concerned with the eternal truths of heaven, of the world to come. The world to come that has already come into our hearts. When you read Paul and you read the entire New Testament, you find that this is an emphasis that we should not concentrate or give of ourselves too much to this earthly life because it's passing. We are pilgrims. We're strangers and foreigners. We're just passing by. There's an old hymn that says, this world is not my home. And it's true. It is not our lasting home. This is not where we begin and end our lives. We may begin our life in this earth, but it certainly carries through eternity. When Paul tells us about that, he's not saying to you or to me that you become weird or strange, that you stop living in the real world. Some people withdraw from the realities of the world and activities of the world, and you simply contemplate eternity. I call that belly button Christianity, that you just look at your belly button and that's all that there is to life. No, that's not it at all. It's not what God calls us to that. But he says to you and to me that we must contemplate on the things that are now proven to be eternal. And Paul goes on to say through this chapter and other places that he writes a series of ethical principles, behavior patterns, principles that make you and me Christians, would make us different from the rest of the world. And not to go on with what is prominent in the world, but to put our hearts in the things of God, but never really to abstract ourselves in such a way that we don't maintain what I would call normal relationships here as human beings. Because we all have to go to the market, don't we? We all have to drive a car, or at least someone has to drive a car for us. And we all have mundane responsibilities. And what Paul is saying to you and to me is that you keep the normality of your life, but with a brand new set of values or principles. You don't see things the way you used to because Christ is in your heart, in your life. And you are technically dead to the world and alive and to God. You follow normal relationships, but a brand new worldview, it's not the same anymore. You see everything with the background of eternity. What a way to live. What a way to live. When the Lord said, and one of you mentioned John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And that comes the moment you come to Christ. Everlasting life is there. And you're now enjoying the life that you will have throughout eternity with some improvements. But it's your life now. And it's a life that lives differently than the rest of the world because you are dead to the world. Again, he says, since you have been raised with Christ in water baptism, you have the symbol of that. You come out of the water, set your hearts on things above. Hearts is the seat of emotions. It speaks about the what makes you into who you are. Hearts a very important part in Scripture. It can speak to emotions, but it also speaks about the center of who you are. And it said, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, with all the power that he has. Think about that, and that's, I think, is so wonderful for you and I to reorient our thoughts and not allow the things that so easily confuses and so easily betray our true heritage and future. So from now on, you and I as Christians, you know, we will view everything against the background of eternity. So I have been in meetings this last week, painful meetings this last week, difficult meetings this last week, trial meetings this last week. And so as I was going through this trial of me going to meetings and committee meetings and all that kind of stuff that some of you don't even know, and I pray you will never know that anguish, this is the text that came to my mind and says, hey, I've been risen with Christ. I'm not going to let these little things here trouble me to the point of exhaustion. How many know that the world has an ability to exhaust your strength and your resources? Where all of a sudden, you get engulfed by an agenda that is not really God's agenda. It's the world's agenda that sucks you in. And so Christians should no longer be there. And so in my mind, I took off in my mind. I said, you know, this is so petty and so worldly. Why should I give 5 more minutes of this? So I said, this is important. I have to be here, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry it because I have no ambitions to become something the world wants me to become. My only desire is to put my eyes on the Lord. And you and I go through things like that. You may not have committee meetings for which you should be thanking God on your knees. But you may have other things that trouble you and take you away. But the moment you allow the world to capture your heart, then you're dominated by the world. And it is an anguish. So Paul is telling us that ambitions that dominate the world need to be powerless when it comes to your life, because your affections, your heart, your life is not set on those things, but you have different situations. Now, you're still going to go on using the things of the world, but you will use them and live in a different way, because Christ now becomes the important focus of your attention. And so, for instance, in the world, people say, get all you can. And with a mind that has been transformed, you set giving instead of getting. What a concept. Yeah. Serving instead of ruling. Oh boy, those committee meetings, they all want to rule you. You know, in discussions with Dr. Darino over topics that come up all the time in our work, they talk a lot about leadership, but leadership as a position and not leadership as a function. Leadership is a function. You serve. But many people want leadership to have a position so that they can rule. But when you set your affections on the things of God above, you want to serve more than rule. Let that sink in a little bit. Because when you begin to serve as a function, things change. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help. Versus, I'm here to tell you how to do things. It slips in there, doesn't it? And of course, the obvious one is forgiving above revenging. Of course, revenge is so sweet, isn't it? You guys look at me like, but forgiveness is in God's hands. Have you ever turned somebody over to God, something that's gone wrong in your life or things that have happened to you, and you can avenge yourself, you can do something, but instead of doing that, you say, Lord, I'm going to let you do it. It is the most liberating moment that you will experience walking with the Lord, because we all have issues in our life, you know. Giving, do we tithe, do we give missions, do we go above and beyond? And giving, you know, tithing is important, but it also is giving of your time, of your talents, of your treasure, giving. Don't try to get, you give. Serving, how can I help you? How can I be a blessing in your life, so to speak, without telling them that, saying, I'm here to help. And of course, the forgiving. Instead of avenging myself, I'm going to let the Lord take care of it. And Peter says that ascuas de fuego sobre su cabeza, coals of fire over there. I mean, do you think God doesn't know how to do things? And when he says, I will avenge, I will take care of, do you think God is not going to do something? He's yeah. See, the thing, the trouble that I have with God is that he moves too slow for my pace. But aren't you thankful that I am not God? I think all of us should. Charlie is very specifically thanking God that I am not that. Yeah, but sometimes we want to be our own God, and we activate things, and we act like if we are God. So all of a sudden, the standards of values for you and for me are God's standards of values and being. All of a sudden, there's a change. All of a sudden, we don't do what we used to do. And we don't do that because I'm dead to that and I'm alive in Christ. I have a new set of values, a new set of behaviors, a new set of principles. And sometimes, you know, we try to find what those values are. And sometimes we stumble and we fall, but we get up and we move on. We're not looking at perfection here, but we're looking at the attitude. And we're looking at conducts that lead us more and more into God's word. I really believe this is true for all of us this year. We need to acquire and act on the values of God's word in our lives, not to condemn ourselves, but to bring glory to the Lord. Because seeking first the kingdom of God is exactly that. This is how the world does it, but this is how Christians do it, because they're based on the fact that we're dead to the world and alive unto him. Well, how is this to be accomplished? I think I've already alluded to it, but basically what Paul tells us is something very important. He says that our life, is hidden with Christ in God. See, that's the key. Why? Well, again, baptism in the New Testament and even to this day repeatedly states that this is a dying and a rising. You die and you come back to life. Now, did you know that in Greek culture, Greeks commonly spoke about a person as being hidden on earth because they were buried? That's the concept. But Paul here comes and says, we have died, but we have had we have died spiritually, death in baptism. But they're not hidden on the earth; they're hidden in Christ. Yeah. And so, the experience of water baptism in the early church is that they were wrapped around Christ; that you were not buried in the ground, but that there was this incredible work of God in your life that you will bury with the Lord, in the Lord. Another idea is that the teachers in the first century, they had books called the wisdom literature, where they had secret societies that had access to this secret books of wisdom. And you had access to them only if you were part of that sect and you were initiated, and that you had special knowledge, special. And what Paul says is, wait a minute, he says, our lives are hidden with Christ in God, and in Christ are hidden all the wisdom and the knowledge that could ever possibly exist in Christ. Christ is a treasury of wisdom, and we are hidden with him. See, there's nothing that you don't have access to because you are in Christ. And if you want to know something about something and you don't know, you can ask the Lord because he has all the wisdom. You know, sometimes people don't think that Jesus is smart or that God is smart. God's very smart. Yeah, you look at me kind of weird, but it's okay. Very smart. I mean, he made you, right? That's a smart move. We exist because of him. And there's nothing that he doesn't know. All the treasures of wisdom are in him. And we are in him. And then goes on to say that because we're hidden, because we're concealed, the world cannot really recognize or understand the Christian. The world looks at you and me and they don't see us as being in a position where we can access whatever we need. Again, your verse surpasses all understanding. The wisdom, the richness in Christ, we're there. So why should we seek worldly wisdom when we have God's wisdom? Amen. That resolves every problem. And it all comes out good for you. That's why he says, all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen. You know, there's something about immersing yourself and understanding and believing in God in your life that just does a number on everything that you're going through and the fatigue of just being human. You come to Christ. And so we have Christ, and we're hidden in Christ. But he goes on to say that the day is coming when Christ will return in glory. And then all true Christians, brothers and sisters, whom no one recognized, will share the glory. That's right. And it will be plain to see what God has done in your life and in my life. And in that time, everything that was done wrong will be reversed so that it will become right. And all the confusions that you and I may have will be cleared up. And the judgment of God will overturn the judgments of this world. So when you live your life, you should live it in such a way that you're dead to the world and alive unto God in that regard. And that you live like a secret agent at your job place, because you're there as a Christian and you draw from the wisdom of God in your heart. And you're there to resolve the issues as God gives you wisdom and understanding and leading. And you're no longer seeking to resolve the issues worldly-wise, but say, Lord, how should I resolve this? Even better, how should we resolve this? And count him in to your decision-making process and say, Lord, I'm alive with you. And people don't recognize that you're in my life, but you are in my life. And so I am seeking you. I'm seeking your wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to resolve problems with intelligence. I seek your wisdom, Lord, so that this can be taken care of. And again, it's a value contrast. What the world does and how they do it and how God does it and how you should also do it. So my verse for 2024 is, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I'm telling you, I'm ready to kick 2024 in the butt. I'm ready to go through whatever comes with me, because my heart will not be affectionate to the world or to the principles of this world, but I will seek the Lord's presence in my life at every turn. And I'm going to set my mind not on the things of this world, and there are many of them around, but I am going to look at things that are above me, not on earthly things, not this system, a different system, God's system. And the reason is because I'm dead, and my life is now hidden with God, actually with Christ in God. And someday people will understand what that means to me, because when Christ, who is my life, will appear, then also I will appear with him in glory. There is a good future for those of us who put our trust in the Lord. And so I would ask you to think and reconsider your value system in the light of God's word. And I would ask you to invite the Lord to help you resolve the issues of life. And I would invite you never to forsake the assembling of Christians, the assembling of the brethren. I would never believe that you and I could make it in this world without the help of God. So God helps us, and we set our affection and our hearts on things that are above. So it's a whole thing. This is the whole ball of wax. This is it. You know, the ethical principles, the way you and I live and behave according to the risen Christ and our identification with Him. And so when you have doubts as to how you should act on something, go to God's Word and ask God to guide you, and He will guide you. He will help you with your family. He will help you with your spouse. He will help you with your children. He will help you with your finances. He will help you with relationships everywhere. But you must seek Him. And you must say, Lord, I want to do it your way. And to the point that eventually my way will be your way. And what the texts that you gave this morning are beautiful. But they all point to our reliance on the Lord and our commitment that He is in charge of our lives. And that our affections and our motivation and our heart center is Christ. And not the world, the system of this world, but Christ. And how He overrules every operation. And though you and I may be confused at times, not knowing whether we're going to the right or the left, He will show you the right or the left. And when we are in doubt, we go to the Lord, and He takes the doubts away, gives us peace. So it's an amazing year. 2024 will be a year of battles, but victorious battles, because the Lord goes before us. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because this is the end of the message. Lord, we thank You this Sunday morning, and we're asking You, Lord, that You would help us, that You will correct our thoughts and our motivations through this year to a point where we will have our hearts set on things above. We ask You, Lord, to forgive us and to help us and to teach us, Lord, that setting our affections, our hearts, our minds in You is far better than trying to resolve it with earthly principles or earthly commitments. Lord, we come to You and we say, guide us, Lord, and show us. And Lord, we know that someday people will understand that what we were all about. But Lord, that's secondary to the fact that we're more than victorious in You. So again, Lord, through this month of January, we're committing the next 11 months into Your hands. And we don't know what will come, but we do know that we can put to death those things that are of earthly nature, and we can rid ourselves of all the things that cause anger and rage and slander. Lord, I pray that You will help us to review Your word and understand how powerful it is to set our emotions on You. In Jesus' name, Lord, You come and You work in my world so that together we can transform it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart. Thank you.
Can I hear an amen? Is that your commitment and your pledge for the new year? God will bless you and strengthen you, and you'll have it made, putting your trust in the Lord. All right, so this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in the peace and the power of the Lord. God bless you.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.